Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Pennington, Vermont. This talk from Sunday, November 24th, is by the Reverend Kathy Duhon on the topic of Come and Be Thankful.
Thanksgiving is a special, a unique holiday for us. It's totally American, basically religious, not from any singular religious tradition, and so embraced by everybody. The very first Thanksgiving in 1621, you could say, was interfaith. Native Americans and pilgrims bridging their differences at that gathering. We continue through this country having interfaith services on Thanksgiving. It's like pretty much the only interfaith services of the year. The first Thanksgiving in Plymouth Colony was begun when Governor William Bradford issued a Thanksgiving proclamation, and they had finally brought in their first relatively decent harvest. Of course, what happened was, you know, more of a party than a dinner or a religious event. It was kind of a party that lasted three whole days. I didn't remember learning that in elementary school. The pilgrims had a few more visitors than we tend to. 90 Native Americans came. They played games together. They had military displays. They hunted, because, you know, 3 days is a long time to get the food for. They feasted. Of course, some of them cooked. The very act of being together, you know, sharing thankfully that food, being that first unity in diversity gathering on the soil that we know of, that was meaningful enough to engender Thanksgiving celebrations for years to come. Thanksgiving, that word, is what we give when our hearts respond to the blessings before us, respond to that abundance, that goodness that we see with wonder, with gratitude. Well, did you ever notice, though, that Thanksgiving Day comes at a particularly dreary time of year? Kind of cooperated with me this last few days. I was easily able to write this during the dreary time. A difficult time, maybe, to summon up that feeling of wonder and gratitude and blessing. Really, it's after the main harvesting has been completed, long after those wonderful October harvest festivals. And what's left of the garden, you know, because a few root vegetables, some dried beans and corn, a few squash or made it in and they're in the basement maybe. Some of the same foods we might have at the big meal, but certainly not in that same way, not that abundance that we associate with Thanksgiving. Instead, when are we usually wowed by our blessings so much that we feel that gratitude? Well, verdant summer, crisp, glorious autumn, walking in a winter wonderland, even muddy spring. Well, because spring has the promise of new life, of great hope for a beginning again. But bleak, chilly, dark, overcast, barren November, not so much. We say thanks now anyway. Thanksgiving is a great reminder that thanks does not depend upon the perception of abundance, of blessing, of gratitude, of goodness before us. Thankfulness is sometimes what we bend toward with our wills, what we decide upon, not what comes to us naturally. If we can be thankful in late November, well, you know, we can pretty much be thankful anytime. And I believe that might be part of what the pilgrims had in mind. You know, they had endured a very difficult year of deprivations and of death. Half of the population had died before they sat down to that big feast with their neighbors who probably brought most of the food because, you know, a decent harvest, there wasn't much there. And yet, years later, perhaps in a similar vein, during one of the darkest times of our nation, the Civil War, You hear the president, Abraham Lincoln, give a Thanksgiving proclamation. He's decided, you know, we're going to make it real. We've been kind of playing around with this Thanksgiving. It's going to be a national holiday. And we'll do it the last Thursday of November every year. It's 1863. It's plenty bleak. And yet, that's when he says to the nation, let's be thankful, everybody. Yeah. Even then, anyway. And when do we next hear of a president talking about Thanksgiving, making a proclamation? 1939, a decade of the economic depression at the threshold of the World War beginning in Europe. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt says, you know, let's talk about Thanksgiving, everybody. The businesses have told me we don't quite have enough days for shopping for Christmas if we wait until the very last Thanksgiving Thursday. So maybe we'll do it on the fourth Thursday. And so those calendar years, when it gets a little crunchy, we'll have more time for shopping. But, you know, it wasn't just shopping for Christmas. It, you know, different these days. But it was that festive holiday feeling during a dreary time gets a little bit extended. Thanksgiving is when we say thanks despite the dreary weather, the warring world, our own trials and tribulations. We are reminded to be a thankful people anyway. In the reading of the gospel today, during one of these versions of feeding the multitudes, now some of you maybe feeding the multitudes this week, or maybe you'll be part of the multitudes somewhere being fed. I like this snapshot of the interaction that happens at the onset of the miracle story. Now, first, Jesus is said to be compassionate about what's going on. You know, he says, there's this great crowd that's gathered. So he brings together his leadership team, such as it is. He says, let's consult. We need to do some planning. He's very clear about the need, how desperate it is. These people have been with him for 3 long days. They're pretty much out of food. If you send them home, it's a long way to some of their homes. Some of them are going to faint on the way or worse. And, you know, Jesus, who has been doing the teaching, the preaching, the healing, the blessing, he brings in the leadership team who have been doing the logistics, and he says to them, you know, there's this desperate situation. You've noticed, right? And maybe they have. What are we going to do about it? Maybe he hopes that they've figured out something. They've done a little planning. They don't have a solution. Let's see. They ask a whiny question. Well, how can we feed them here in the desert? Are you crazy, Jesus? He asks how many loaves of bread they have. Okay, 7. That would likely have fed, you know, the 13 of them pretty well, maybe with some leftovers. You haven't counted the fish yet. I think the disciples are hiding the fish, and they're hoping to keep them to themselves. You know, it comes at the end of the story. Jesus has everyone sit down, the crowd. Be quieted. Be a dining community, be a gathered congregation. And the first thing he says in the vein of being the rabbi of his time is he gives thanks. He gives thanks. It's the desert. It's getting cold and dark. He has been mobbed by followers who are demanding that he do wonders. He's being helped, flanked by disciples who seem clueless, who don't seem quite able to plan or even dream, haven't even figured out the basics of sharing compassion. In this difficult place, Jesus puts it all in perspective, not entirely unlike Abraham Lincoln or Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Let's give thanks anyway, guys. I call that the miracle. That's amazing. He didn't stint anything. He said, let's give thanks. Let's be a thankful people here now in this desperate time. Thanksgiving is a day to cultivate our gratitude. Maybe we, you know, need some practice. We thank Aunt Ellie for bringing the pumpkin pies. We thank Grandma for the Jell-O mold. Anyway, we thank our niece for her bourbon pumpkin pie. I mean, bourbon pecan pie. Yeah, my niece actually used to bring bourbon pecan pies. Woohoo! We thank the younger kids for setting the table, even if we had to prompt them three times. We thank Pop for driving. We hope he'll remember to help out this year. We thank the surprise guest our brother brought and didn't say anything about for bringing, vegetarian squash stuffing, squash, even though we've got squash and stuffing already in the oven, but that's okay. If we're not at a home gathering, if we're here at the fellowship, if we're at some other community feast, we might not even really know who to thank for what, but our hearts are going to be full of gratitude, and hopefully we remember to say thanks to all for all. And no matter how crazy the day is, it's often pretty crazy, how fraught with the usual imperfect interactions in our imperfect relationships, we thank God or whatever powers we believe in for the time to be together, to celebrate love, to live in thankfulness. And what about the rest of the year? Oh yeah, we should give thanks anyway, all the time. When that 19th century British Unitarian, Charles Dickens, found out about Thanksgiving Day in the U.S., he asked the question, shouldn't you be expressing gratitude 364 days a year? And, singling out one day for griping? We don't need any help remembering to gripe. I know Bruce will tell you I gripe all the time at home. It's easy to gripe. We need a little help cultivating gratitude, remembering to be thankful. We should be remembered to be thankful for loved ones who are there in the shadow times. But can we even remember to be thankful for the shadows in our lives as well? When we remember to be thankful for the food, and maybe even we'll remember to be thankful for the clothing and the shelter and the comfort of our day-to-day lives, can we likewise seek to be grateful for all those other crazy things like bothersome chores and aching backs and nagging thoughts, starving spirits, ill-fitting attitudes, uncomfortable lives? So why the heck would we be thankful for all the overcast, barren bleakness of our lives? Because that's also the stuff of life. Life is what we celebrate in all its fullness. We're grateful simply to be. So that's where we start. We are grateful simply to be. Dag Hammarskjöld said, "For all that has been, thanks. To all that will be, yes." What a blessing, what abundance, what a goodness life is in all its reality, not denying any of the dark, barren, hard stuff. And whatever desert we find ourselves, surrounded by the crowds or all by ourselves, we can come and be thankful anyway. Anyway is one of my favorite words. Helps me to get through. W.E.B. Du Bois, I know some of you know who that is, wonderful African-American thinker of the past century, born not far from here in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, which was my hometown for a long time. We knew a lot about Du Bois. Endured a great deal of oppression and yet did an awful lot of good in the world. He lifted up this prayer: "Give us thankful hearts, O God. In this thy season of thy thanksgiving, may we be thankful for health and strength, for sun and rain and peace. Let us seize the day and the opportunity and strive for that greatness of spirit that measures life not by its disappointments, but by its possibilities. And let us ever remember that true gratitude and appreciation shows itself neither in independence nor satisfaction, but passes the gift joyfully on in larger and better form. Such gratitude grant us, O God. Amen.